Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the Centerpoint Podcast. My name is Billy.
And I'm Lowell.
And we're thankful that you've tuned in to listen to us chat about a spiritual topic, something that's been on our hearts, been on our minds. And really, what we like to do is have it correlate with the sermon series. So today we're talking about may seem like a simple topic, but it becomes very complex.
Oh, man, it's life-changing.
It is life-changing. Yeah, it seems simple, but it is life-changing.
We're jumping off of a phrase that we used on Sunday morning from Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 48, and it's give great grace. We, as followers of Jesus, want to reflect God. We want to reflect the Lord in our lives, and He's full of grace. Yeah. And so we want to give great grace.
Yeah, we can give great grace in our lives. We can give grace in our lives. There was one time I was, I like to go to Waffle House and meet people at Waffle House because, number one, the food comes really quick. And
it's usually a little greasy.
It is a little greasy because it slides off the plate, right? You know, but you can get in and out, or you can eat quick and then have time for discussion. I sat down one day and I thought, you know what? Usually they used to have the $5 menu, the $6 menu, anything. Anyways, so I wanted some bacon, and it was like $3 for three pieces. And I told the waitress,
$1 a strip.
And I was like, come on now, I can pay $5 and get a pound of bacon. So I said to the waitress, I said, next time I come in, I'm bringing a pound of bacon.
Okay.
I'm gonna bring it in. I said, if I bring it in, will you cook it for me? And she asked the cook, and he said, sure. So the next time I came in, sure enough,
I brought a pound of bacon. Did they cook it?
They cooked it for me. They cooked it. And I said that I actually made an announcement in Waffle House. I was like, hey, everybody, I brought a pound of bacon. Everybody gets free bacon today.
Oh,
so they were handing out bacon for free.
If Waffle House like executives are listening, they might come and fire all the employees.
Yeah. Well, it actually worked out. But
there's only one Billy Hearn in all the world.
Well, that's an example. But that's an example of grace. Because
when I came, I said
I'm going to bring a pound of bacon. When I brought it, I said to everybody in the place, you all are going to receive free bacon. So I gave them something. I gave them a favor. I gave them a blessing, and they did absolutely nothing for it. People didn't pay me or anything like that. I don't even know these people. But what I thought was, I want to bless them. I want to be gracious to them. And that's really what we're talking about today, is grace. What is grace? And what is the grace that God gives us? And how does it come our way? In this example, I gave it to somebody, but how does God's grace come our way? So I guess we'll hit the first one, which is, what is the grace that God gives us?
Well, yeah, and I just want to say, I mean, grace is a theme that runs through the whole Bible. Sometimes people get the idea, like the Old Testament, there was no grace, and the New Testament is all about grace. And that's just not a reality. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, and that's where God's first promise of grace is contained, when He promises that He would send one that would crush the head of the serpent that had deceived Eve.
Yeah.
And so even there, all the way back to the garden, God is a God of grace. It's a constant theme in the Bible. When you go to Abraham, God says, I'm going to bless you, and it's unconditional. He's going to bless him and his descendants.
Yeah.
When you go to the really, as God describes himself in Exodus chapter 19, he tells us that he is a God of grace and mercy. I mean, this is part of who God is. So as much as the Lord uses grace to describe himself, we probably ought to know what it is.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, well, there's a lot of definitions of grace, and people try to make it so that they try to encapsulate it as small as possible, as short of a definition as possible. And that is okay. But I think sometimes when people try to make it so small, they miss some valid points in it.
Right. Well, and usually people will say that it is unmerited favor.
Yes, that would be the one that pops into my mind.
And that's a good definition.
Yeah. Or God's unmerited favor.
So the word unmerited, what's that mean?
It's undeserved.
Okay.
It's unearned. There's no reason for the favor. There's no reason for the blessing, favor, or whatever.
It's exactly right. And it comes to humans that are guilty, that are condemned sinners.
Right.
And it comes freely to us.
And there's another shorter definition. It says grace is his, meaning God's benevolence to the undeserving. Mm-hmm. So we're getting kind of a little bit of a theme here about grace is. Really, it deals with God, his blessing or favor, and then who we are, which is sinners, undeserving, whatever. So
and it comes to us. It comes to us as God's children based on nothing that we ever do, not on something that we perform or some act that we carry through on, or anything that we might do in the future, or even anything that we don't do. So what I mean by that is it's not like, so you can't out-sin God's grace coming your way. Just recently, you might have seen in the news that there was a man who was very guilty of murder. He actually killed several family members. And
it's horrible. It was horrible.
Yeah, it was horrible. And now recently, it's come out that he, quote, found God in prison. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but let's just suppose that it means that he put his trust in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So can he be saved? He's a murderer. He killed his wife and children. Can he be saved?
Well, the answer is yes.
Yeah,
he sure can.
That's hard See, grace is foreign to us. You gave away bacon that day, and that was an act of grace. But in reality, you kind of got something for it.
That's right. That's right. I did.
You know, you got a laugh or a thumbs up or that's a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was lifted up over everyone's head, and I was marched around the Waffle House. Bacon! No, I'm just kidding.
But that's just the way that the world system works.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not. But it's not. It's not what grace means. Grace does not mean that God saves us so that we can do things for him and earn it back or win his approval or now that we can make it worthwhile that he died for us. It comes our way irregardless of who or what we've ever done.
Right. And as we think about that example in the news that was just recent, in our minds, we don't want to give grace because we want that person to be punished.
Yeah.
So we, in our own minds, we even have different motives than God does for when we hear something like that. We can say, oh yeah, okay, great, he's a believer in Jesus, but we want him to suffer.
Well, and listen, we're not suggesting that he doesn't deserve punishment. He does.
Yeah.
It is God's will that he suffer consequences here on this planet for that action. So we're not implying
that he just open the door and he just goes free because he said, I believe in Jesus.
That's right. That's right. But eternally, he has wronged man and he needs to pay the consequences here that man can instill. But eternally, he can be forgiven before God because of grace. I mean, this theme is all through the Bible. Let's hit a couple passages.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
Let's do that. I was going to say we've given a couple short definitions, but there's a really good longer definition that when you read it earlier, I thought, wow, that is so good. It makes it encapsulates grace better.
I can read this to you. It's kind of long.
And then we'll go to those verses, because those verses are good too.
Put in the worship notes. We'll make sure it's there.
We'll
What's this called?
What is this called? Show notes.
Show notes, yeah. Show notes. We'll make sure this is in the show notes. So grace is God's loving forgiveness, his exemption from judgment, and instead receiving the promise of blessing given to guilty and condemned sinners freely, without any worthiness on their part, and based on nothing they have done or failed to do.
And that is, it sounds like it's a long definition, but it is such a powerful one. I really encourage you to read it in the show notes and read over it and read over it and let it permeate in your heart and in your mind.
And again, it's just, we cannot, humanly, it is very difficult for us to understand grace, because it just doesn't exist anywhere in the human existence other than God or believers.
Mm-hmm.
See, we as reflections of our Heavenly Father and His ways, we can be filled with grace.
Yeah.
We can live out grace. And that's what we talked about on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That we are supposed to reflect God and bring grace into other people's lives. Bring them bacon.
Yeah.
even though they don't deserve it, and we made fun of that, it could have been. We're not saying it wasn't an act of grace.
I wanted bacon too. But what you're saying is we can be, and correct me if I'm wrong, a conduit of God's grace to others that are equally as undeserving and guilty as us.
It's very much being conformed to the image of Christ.
Yeah.
He was full of grace and truth. For both.
Mm-hmm.
And we are conformed to the image of Christ. We're called to walk as He walked. We're called to live as He lived. We're called to be His examples of what it is to be a God follower on this earth. And so we need to have grace. Yeah.
You know what? I'm looking at the time here. Why don't we take a little quick break, and we'll come back and let's hit those verses that really speak to the grace of God. We'll be back in a few seconds. Well, I just want to take a moment and encourage you that if you don't have a church family or a church that you go to or attend, we want to invite you to Centerpoint Bible Church. We meet at Spring Mills Middle School, right off Campus Drive in Spring Mills, West Virginia, and our service times are from 8:45 a.m. is our first service, 10 a.m. is our focus group, and 11 a.m. is our second service. If you don't have a place to attend, you don't have a place to go on Sunday morning, we want you to come to be a part of our family. We exist to point people to Jesus Christ and His Word.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the Centerpoint Podcast, and today we're talking about grace. We're really jumping off of Matthew chapter 5. That was our sermon topic last week, where we were seeing that Jesus calls for us to reflect God's grace, that we should be an expression of grace like He has been to us.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the definition of it.
Right. And we've made a couple short definitions, then the longer definition that you can check in your show notes. But what's in the, as you think about grace, trying to think of an illustration of grace in our world, what's something that you think of when you think of grace?
Well, I guess maybe to help us understand grace, let's think about what the opposite of it is, and that's a wage.
Okay.
I mean, that's what Ephesians 2 says. It talks about that we are saved by grace. It's a gift of God, not a result of works. And so it's the idea that we aren't really working to earning our salvation. Yeah, I remember one time I was working as a corn picker.
Okay.
I was probably 14 or so, and in the summer there was this large farm, and they farmed corn, and they would hire teenage boys to come out there and pick ears of corn.
For some reason, in my mind, Napoleon Dynamite comes in where he goes and grabs the eggs.
Farm.
Yeah, chicken farm.
That's what I did.
Is that what it was?
So it's kind of like that.
Where's your lunch, corn? Give you corn,
tuna fish. I'd bring a tuna fish sandwich. So it was a pretty cool. I mean, it was a cool job. You'd walk up and down these rows of corn. I mean, it feels like it was just hundreds of yards. Yeah. I mean, we'd, all day.
Yeah.
You know, and one guy'd carry a basket, a bushel basket, and the other guy'd walk along with him picking ears of corn, ripe corn, and throw in the basket, and then you take it and dump it in the truck, and and this is not like the early 1900s. I mean, I'm not 100 years old.
I know. I was thinking, don't they have machines that do that now?
Not on this farm. So we would get paid for how many hours we work.
Sure.
And I was,
corn, you get paid in corn. I'm just kidding.
No, I think we got like $5 an hour or something. It was a pretty good job.
Yeah.
It was a really good job. Minimum wage then was $3.35. And this was a $5 an hour job. So it was a good deal. And I remember, though, I was kind of a timid, kid. And so there's probably about 20 of us that would work there, you know. At the end of the day, the farmer would come over and we would all line up and, you know, we'd walk up there and he'd pay us in cash, okay? Because I remember he had a bunch of fives. I don't know where he got all these fives, but he'd count them out, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember one time, probably the first time I worked there, and he made this mistake once. And so he gave me my five times eight, probably $40, you know. And I said, thank you. And he got real, like, nasty. What do you thank of me for? I thought you worked for this. And I was like, I did. You know, kind of crawled away, you know. But, I mean, his point was, you know,
it was a well-proven point. Even though you were being kind, you know, he was thinking differently. But it's true.
It was a wage.
Yeah, you earned it.
You don't thank someone for a wage.
Yeah, and that is a pretty neat illustration.
Yeah.
It's a neat example.
Think about our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. And well, that goes right into Ephesians 2:8.
Yeah.
Because it's not of works. And why is it not? Why is it not of works?
Because you'd boast.
Then you'd be able to boast about it.
Yes. And rather than boast, we thank.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing that we're doing to earn our salvation.
That's right.
It is a gift of God. And it says that in Ephesians 2:8. It says this: it is a gift of God. It says that in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift. Mm-hmm. We thank for a gift. We worship God because of a gift. Mm-hmm. As soon as we make it a wage, as soon as we make it because of something that we've done or something that we've earned, Romans 11 says it's not on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace.
Yeah.
And then I don't thank, I boast.
Yep. That's a powerful verse there in Romans 11, and we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, it's verse number 6. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And as we keep on talking about grace, people will add a word before the word grace to try to change it a little bit. And some of them...
Yeah, actually, or maybe some of them to define it a little bit.
Yeah, try to help in the definition of it. And I wrote some of them down here, but these aren't in the Bible.
Right.
You know, but it's just man trying to understand God's grace.
Well, before you list them, just one little quick, prepare people to hear what you're getting ready to say. Grace is used so much in the Bible, like the word grace. Mm-hmm. It's used to describe God. He's a God of grace. He's a gracious God. It's also used to describe that we receive what we've been saying. We receive it as a gift of God. The word grace is used for like spiritual gifts. They're called a grace. Mm-hmm. So it's used so many times in Scripture.
You know,
so that's why we have these words you're going to share
with
us.
It made me think of this. Well, I got a Mercury Villager like a bunch of years ago. I loved the van. But before I bought the van, I never even really saw any Mercury Villagers on the road. But once I got the Mercury Villager, then I started noticing...
Everybody drives one.
All these Mercury Villagers. That's the same concept of grace if we dive into it in Scripture.
We see it everywhere.
If we start thinking about it, and we're thinking about how gracious God is to us, it starts revealing itself to us in all different passages, just like you were mentioning.
Let's go through your list and take a whack at explaining what these things are.
Okay. The first one would be like common grace.
Okay.
What do you think when you think of common grace?
Common grace typically is this idea that, as I understand it, and we'll deal with this together, but is the idea that there are some things, that there are some gifts that God gives to all people, whether they believe he exists or not.
Right, right.
The rain, it falls on the wicked and the just.
Yeah. It's just like a general grace, a common grace given to all men.
That we have air to breathe, that we have food to eat, that the clouds come and give us rain, which allow the corn to grow. That's common grace, common grace.
So that's an easy one. And and here's another one, saving grace. And it we've actually referenced it in Romans 3:24, where it says, you know, we've been justified freely by his grace, this gift that comes. How does it come? By Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus.
Yeah, and so that's the idea that, this is, So this is now a little more specialized,
mm-hmm.
where common grace is for everyone.
Right.
And the saving grace is for just those that put their trust in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And it is Jesus.
Yes.
Saving grace is Jesus.
And yes, and that gift comes. So what saving grace shows us, the existence of saving grace, and again, like you said, Billy, that phrase that I'm aware of is not in the Bible.
Right. Okay? Saving grace, the word saving grace is not connected together in the
right.
Bible at all.
But
this references grace.
But what it reveals, the reality of saving grace reveals is there are some people that are not saved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody experiences common grace.
Mm-hmm.
But only people who put their trust in Jesus experience saving grace.
Mm-hmm. Faith in the finished work of Jesus
yes.
Christ alone on the cross.
Good.
That's the big long,
yes.
you know,
well
thing,
said.
You know,
mm-hmm.
On Christ alone. Here's some that kind of twinge me a little bit and stuff. It saddens me a little bit when people add this, but they'll say like cheap grace. Cheap grace is a phrase that was created by a guy back in the 40s,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even a little before.
I believe it was Bonhoeffer, right?
Yeah. A guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was he was a minister in Germany, you know, during World War II, and he references it as he's talking about grace and calls it cheap grace, but
he calls some things cheap grace,
right?
Yeah,
right, and. But honestly, cheap grace, in reality, what he's trying to reference is like a self-imparted grace, a pseudo-grace.
A non-saving understanding
right.
of grace.
Exactly. And really, if in his readings, I really don't want to go too deep into his readings and such, but the consequences of trying to put ourselves in cheap grace and trying to understand and living by cheap grace or non-cheap grace, as he's trying to push people to— It ends up being a means of works.
That's
that
right.
you do something in order to not have cheap grace.
Because in reality, there's only two religions in all the world. And this is what Bonhoeffer was trying to point out, and many other people. There's only two religions in all the world. They boil down to two groups. One is Christianity, and that is all about a divine accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
That at the cross, Jesus won victory over sin and gives grace to those mm-hmm. who receive him and they are saved. That's one religion. If you want, I mean, I don't
if
like
you want
the
to
word
call
religion,
it religion
yeah,
sure, yeah.
But that's one religion. Second religion is by human achievement.
Yeah.
And that's what Bonhoeffer is speaking to, this idea that I'm going to add something to God's grace.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, I have to be baptized or I've got to be...
A requirement.
You know, yes.
Some sort of requirement you must actively fulfill by working toward it.
Communion, and, baptism,
yeah.
you know, church membership.
Praying five times a day to something,
yep.
lighting incense to a golden statue.
Giving a certain amount of money to the church.
Yes.
Both of us, we're walking through, these are true beliefs that people have mm-hmm. in the world today that they're yeah. adding to maybe God, maybe his grace,
yeah.
but they think they're going to be saved yeah. because of this human achievement.
Bathing in a certain river, you know,
yes.
know if you do this, then this gives you a measure of grace.
And here's the thing, once we add anything to grace, it is by definition no longer grace.
Right. It is a wage.
yeah.
That we can boast about.
Yeah.
So.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, you take pure water. You add one drop of impurity and it's no longer pure water.
Yeah.
You drop one work, one thought that I've got to do this to earn God's approval, and you no longer have grace.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that kind of rolls into the cheap grace, kind of rolls into like sometimes people would say like a means of grace, which is just a work
commonly when people say means of grace, usually they mean, typically they'll mean one of a few things. Let's see, they'll mean a baptism. They'll say baptism mm-hmm. is a means of grace, or communion is a means of grace, or that church membership is a means of grace, or even marriage is a means right. of grace. Or
you must attend a confirmation class in order for this, you know, for you to progress in your grace.
And the whole idea is that I'm going to use a word here that maybe people aren't too
That's
comfortable
right.
with, but they've listened to our old podcast. They know what it is. It's this synergistic approach that I'm going to take God's act of grace and man's work and put them together,
right.
and together we're going to form this acceptance by God.
Yeah.
And God says, nope, That's a work. Mm-hmm. You can boast. Doesn't save. So the only means of grace, let's deal with that for just a second. The only means of grace is faith.
Very much so.
And I'm not even comfortable calling it a means of grace.
That's even kind of tough to say that's it. You know?
We are saved by grace alone. Mm-hmm. That's it. Now, we got to have faith to be saved. Mm-hmm. We've got to have faith in the finished work of Christ. So that's why I am comfortable, in a sense, calling it a means of grace. But in many senses, I'm not comfortable calling it that. But if you're going to insist on means of grace, the only thing you can put there is faith.
Right.
Not works, not communion, not baptism, not marriage, not church membership, not bathing in a river or in a lake or anything else, mm-hmm. you know, just
and
work
even,
of Jesus.
Even when I think of faith, I think of myself letting everything I have rest upon the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so instead of me doing something, I feel a little bit as if I just, I fall back into his, into trust and let him carry me. You know, through that, and so it's not really me doing anything; it's me resting. If that even makes sense, resting in, trusting in his, you know, the faith of Jesus Christ alone.
Well, we probably need to wrap up, but before we do that, I want to take like just 30 seconds to connect this to what we talked about on Sunday morning.
Let's do it.
So on Sunday morning, we're talking about how we need to be dispensers of God's grace. Mm-hmm. Well, the number one thing that people are going to say when they consider dispensing God's grace into people's lives is this. Well, they don't deserve it. Why should I treat him right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why should I love my wife? Why should I love my children? Why should I love my neighbor? Why should I do that? They don't deserve it. Yikes. The truth is, we received a lot from God that we never deserved, mm-hmm. and a lot is not strong enough. We received a relationship with God that we never deserved.
Yeah, and just to say a little bit of the definition that we had said earlier, it's eternal blessing given to guilty, condemned sinners freely, without any worthiness. So none of us have worth, but we can freely receive the grace of God that He pours on us. So, well, thanks for tuning in and listening to the podcast. And we'll throw a bunch of stuff on the show notes. Check out centerpointwv.org and take a look at them. So, thanks for listening to us. And just remember that at Centerpoint Bible Church, we're nothing fancy, but we strive to be real, just like Jesus is.